There is no flu bug in Chateau Gene Williams, and there isn't one here in my house. Welcome, everybody, in to the WarChant.com post-game show. It's a post-game call-in show. He's Gene Williams, the founder and administrator of WarChant.com. My name is Tom Lang. And you saw today a first half that was ugly as hell, a second half that gave you a little bit of hope, and then that hope was taken away. The final today, NC State 28, Florida State 14, as the Noles drop to, I believe that's now 3-6. On the season, three games to go, Gene. This was one where at halftime, if you had just had a conversation with all your brethren, you know, your group texts of Noles fans, if that's what you guys do, or you're at the game together, you're thinking, well, this one's academic, man. The flu bug was going through the team. We're a one-dimensional offense, and that one-dimension passing is not working. Next thing you know, in the second half, Florida State looks good offensively for a few drives, and you start to hope a little bit. By the end of the day, a couple of key plays not made, maybe a decision or two that was questionable or at least debatable, and that's where I will give the floor right now. Gene Williams, given our pregame or pre-show talks in the green room, this should be interesting. Gene, go ahead.
Well, yeah, first of all, I want to look. I mean, yeah, I was about to go out and just go for a nice, long, comfortable walk in the afternoon after that first half. I'm like, it's a beautiful day in Tallahassee. You know, we saw it was just horrific. And, you know, I wasn't shocked. I just knew this was a bad matchup without Jordan Travis. And we, you know, we kind of figured that's how it's going to play. I don't know if it's going to be quite that bad. But so I, you know, I give some props to him for this team. Again, it's same thing we've seen. This great. This team fights. It doesn't give up. So, I mean, props to them for that. And I thought they, you know, you think about what did they end up having? They had 14 drives, NC State. I mean, how many drives did they have, Tom? For them to hold them to 28 points. I don't think it was a bad defensive effort. Yo, there were some chunk plays where they had horrible tackling and a few plays here and there. But on the whole, they played well enough to win. And for the defense to have two drives and score twice, I mean, ballsy call there, the onside kick at halftime. And yep. You said there's some debatable calls. There's no debate, Tom. And this has been one of my bugaboos with Mike Norvell. And look, I'm not saying firing Mike Norvell. I do think he's done some really good things. I think he's got the program very slowly, painfully headed in the right direction. But, man, it's a snail's pace the way they're progressing here.
Yep.
But, okay, I guess I'll get into it. Man, I feel like an epic rant coming on here. I am so freaking pissed at that freaking fourth down call. Look, the momentum had changed in the second half. It's a seven-point game. You're in the fourth quarter. You got a couple first downs. You're on your 43-yard line. It's a fourth and four. At this point, you're punting. You're getting them inside the 20 somewhere, most likely. You're going to flip the field. You've gotten three straight stops. Your defense made them punt three straight times. Your defense had kind of had found something. You're getting pressure on Leary. You're stuffing the run game. The momentum had definitely shifted. But here we go. Here we go again with this nonsense. We're going to go for it on fourth down and our own side. And the thing, I know Mike Norvell's press conference, you can watch that later. He's probably coming up soon. We'll have it on War Chant TV. You can watch it. And I guarantee he's going to. Someone asked him, he's going to say it's analytics. You know what that is? That's bullshit, Tom. You know why? Because analytics, all they do is tell you what's happened. I don't know if he's looking at all of college football games in the past and that situation, your odds of winning. But that's the past. It has nothing to do with this game. It doesn't take into account your offensive line, that you've got your backup quarterback, how this defense has done before, the momentum of the game, all the other things going. I'll give you an analytics that should tell you what you should do in that situation. At the time, Florida State was 2 of 14 on third down in this game.
Yeah.
I'm not a math whiz, but that tells me, well, and that's probably, it's probably, if you average it out, it's probably they probably were 4 to 5 yards average to convert those. So that means there's an 80% chance you're not picking that up. It means there's an 80% chance plus you're giving them the ball on your side of the field in a 7-point game in the fourth quarter. So, which means it's like a 90% chance you're freaking losing the game on that call. It is insane to me that you're doing that crap. Even if you pick it up, look, if you pick it up, so right. What? You're at midfield. You still might end up punting. It's not like if you pick up that first down, all the momentum shifts and you're scoring a touchdown. It's idiotic. He needs to stop doing this crap. It's cost a couple games, him doing this nonsense. Read the room. The room was to punt the freaking ball. Your defense is playing well. Let them do what they've done and then win the field position back. It sucked all the momentum out of the room. And of course, they go down three plays later, score a touchdown, game over.
Yeah, I like on one hand, Gene, I love the fact that Mike always plays to win. and always. And that includes the onside kick and the aggressiveness. And there were two other fourth down conversions that Florida State got. On the other hand, where I agree with you, if it's fourth and one, fourth and two in that situation, maybe I could
if
just
you're running well, but you couldn't even do that.
Exactly. Fourth and four, we know what's coming. You know exactly what's coming if you're NC State. It has to be a pass. There's no tricks that we can call. There's no wrinkles. That makes it a really tough situation. What hurts me a little bit more, Gene, about what happened is the next third down. It's third and seven. You do get yourself in a favorable position. Then it's a screen out to the flat. You're one-on-one. Jerrion Jones, can you make the play? And he couldn't make the play. Then Akeem Dent tries to come up. He gets completely washed out by the offensive lineman. Next thing you know, it's a touchdown. Oh, you know, you would argue in that situation, if you punted, the exact same call occurs, you know, what is that, the 20 or the 25-yard line? Maybe they get to midfield, and it's not a touchdown. Instead, it is, and that felt like the back-breaking moment in the game.
I knew it was over the minute they didn't convert that fourth down, because we've seen this time. When they don't convert that fourth down, Tom, that other team scores every time. That's right. The analytics you need to look at, not what's happened in 1,000 games that we go all in. 52% of the time, your odds are increased to win if you go for it on fourth and four. Not in this game, not this team, not with that offense, not with a backup quarterback, not when you're 2 of 14 on third downs and you can't run the ball. There's no freaking way that's going to work.
Yeah, given how much time was left in the game, like you're more fired up than I am about it, but when you consider all the factors, like you're correct. Let's say you pick it up. So you're going to trust that offense to march down the field another 55 yards?
Yeah.
You know, 55 yards in order to get the job done? I don't know. The way the defense was playing outside of the one drive, the killer drive to me in this game was in the second half. You score on the onside kick. You get down the field. You make the play. It's an absolute prayer that McKenzie throws up. That replay that they showed on ACC Network from behind the end zone, where when he lets the ball go, there's nobody in the picture. It's just it's a shot of an end zone. It's an artful picture of an end zone. And then here comes Keyshawn Helton out of nowhere. All of those low percentage things get stacked together. The house of cards is built. It's 14-7. And then that you give up that? I mean, my God, Akeem Dent, like Corey said it right. He tweeted it. He'll never want to watch that piece of film on that particular play where they score the touchdown. Like, what kind of – there is no effort there. That's bad. You can't have that happen.
That was lazy. That was horrible.
It was on the live, and then they went to the All-22. Kudos to the ACC Network for going to the All-22 a bunch today. I always rag on them, but I did appreciate that. They may have had their play-by-play camera miss a couple of plays completely, so we couldn't see what the hell was going on. But at least they start to use replays, so I appreciate them for that.
What a novel concept. Replays, Tom?
Yeah, exactly. They're a thing. I think they invented those back in the days of Howard Cosell. Maybe earlier. I don't know. But the thing to me, Gene, is, you know, when I was – considering what was happening at halftime, and we had talked about it on the pregame show that Reese Davis had let the cat out the bag a little bit on College game day, that Mackenzie Milton was likely going to play. There were whispers around town all week about who was participating and who wasn't. And we all had an inkling that 13 might not go, but it sounded like this morning on College game day that it did come to pass, that the decision had already been made. So we're about to kick off. Mackenzie's going to be your quarterback. And then you see that Dylan Gibbons isn't playing. And then you see that Bavion Johnson probably isn't available, right? And so now your two guards are your backups. Because to me, DLT is not 100%. I think if you're operating at 100% efficiency right now, you got Dylan Gibbons at left guard, you got Bavion Johnson at right guard. DLT, if DLT is 100%, he plays.
Yeah.
But he's not. So now you've got two problems. Number one, you don't have to account for Jordan Travis in the run game. Number two, you've got your two backup guards in. How the hell are you going to run the football? You've got real problems. And at 14-0 at half, it felt like, well, this was an easy game to predict. But then the next thing you know, Florida State fights back, and they get it to within a score two times, and you're starting to have delusions of grandeur. And it just didn't happen for us. But the one thing I want to say, just on the optimistic side of the coin, they got – Gene, they fight. They continually fight. And I like this group for that reason. We could be mad about Mike for a certain situational call, but damn it, if they don't just keep playing hard. And when you would lack this much talent and you didn't get as much practice time this week with the flu to battle and put yourself in a position to win this ball game, I know moral victories. You can rip me for if you want for that, but this group had a hell of a week.
That's true. Yeah, Tom, you make a great point. Position. You do make – I mean, that's the thing that gets lost in this. And I'm ranting about – and I think it's a horrible colony to go through that again. But you're right. I mean, that gets lost in the shuffle a little bit. Well, thank you so much, Kevin.
Yeah.
That's Kevin, awesome.
Appreciate you.
Bad situation. They ended up 2 of 16 on third downs. That's not a good situation. But I think Tom mentioned why. When you're starting guards are out, you've got you could say it's a second or a third string. I heard a whisper, and this is one of the reasons why, if you saw, I changed my pick to NC State, and this is why I didn't think Jordan was going to play, and all the problems on the offensive line with illnesses. But yeah, that's the reason why you're talking about your inability to run and convert those third down. It's not a coincidence. It's not like Florida State suddenly reverted and situationally they're bad. It's because they didn't have the tools that made them be able to convert that. They were gone.
Right.
And right. I do think that, you know, look, I had heard had Chubb, and who knows, they might have just been, I heard if Chubb wouldn't have transferred, he would have started this game. Would that have changed anything? I don't know, but it would have given you a more mobile quarterback. It might have opened some things up. But when you factor in that what happened on the interior of the offensive line as well, man, that's a tall, this wasn't a bad, this is, it's not a great NC State team, but it's a pretty good team.
Right.
And look, we'll never know. I think if Florida State's healthy, if Jordan's there, those guards are playing, I think they win this game. I really do. But they just did not have enough weapons in the toolbox to pull this off, despite the call. Maybe they make that, they don't make that dumbass call. They find a way to pull out a win, but we'll never know.
So yeah, to me again, you know, you're at kickoff, and these are the facts that are presented to you. A lot of guys miss a lot of time this week, and so they might not be in 100% physical condition. The guys that can play, your quarterback is a backup, your two guards are backups. Okay, I'm thinking you're just going to get straight up blown out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that's where you have to look at the context of things. At halftime, this was academic. It was going on script. Later in the game, where it gets a little bit more complex, is you've got a chance to win. How in the hell are you in this football game? Like, yeah, view it from the other sideline. If you're an NC State fan, you go, there goes Dave Doran again, finding a way to be in a game that we should be blowing Florida State out. How is this a one-score game, and why do we look timid? Why do they look like the team that has more emotion and passion than we do? Those suckers couldn't even practice this week. Like, what is this? What's happening to us? Are we going to lose on the road again? And that was another question that we were talking about all week, is why is NC State so much worse on the road? You put yourself in a position where if you make a couple more plays, then maybe you do win this football game. But I don't think it's homerish to say NC State is more talented than Florida State. NC State had a continuous week of practice. Florida State did not. Yeah. Florida State had two backup offensive linemen in the game and a quarterback that renders your offense completely useless on the ground game, which is what we define ourselves as. And yet here you are with a chance to win the football game.
I get it. Awesome. Aren't people tired of hearing this, though? It's like every week it's something. You know, and I get it. We feel like Florida State is snake bit because, of course, you get a little momentum and things are starting to turn around. Of course, a flu bug ravages the campus.
Yeah.
And your guys can't practice and your starting quarterback is out for a game like this when you don't have – and your second-string quarterback, what you say second or not, just out of the blue, transfers out.
Right.
It's just – but people don't want to hear it. They see the L. Like, here's right. We've already got six losses, Tom, and there's no maybe eke out one more at this point. I don't know. But again, we don't know. Maybe they're healthy. Who knows how they're going to look next week against Miami if they've got a totally healthy offense? Maybe they pull that win off. Nothing will shock me.
Well, the thing, exactly right. I would agree. It's up and down. You know, Miami, obviously, I didn't see how the game finished, but early on, you're like, oh, look at that, playing Georgia Tech ahead. I don't know what the final of that game was. But my answer to those people who would say it's always something, well, of course it is. We've rebooted this thing a couple of times in the last 3-4 seasons. Like, if this is too much for you, we'll see you in 2 or 3 years. Go away. Like, that's my problem here is, what do you want them to do? This is something we talked about on the Cameron Show for the last 2 or 3 years. It feels like, if you're a Florida State fan, you're in a straitjacket. That's the effect that it is right now. You can't go anywhere. That jacket's not coming off. It's going to take some time. I understand that certain other programs around the country, it looks like they may be bouncing back sooner, maybe bouncing back quicker with impact players. Well, we've got impact players on the way as long as this recruiting class holds together. This roster has been completely gutted over the last few years. It's patchwork. And they patchwork themselves into being in a position to win this football game in the second half. The 4th-and-4 hurts, though, Gene. There's no doubt about that. And we thank you, everybody who's supported the program. Of course, Kevin, Gabriel, you're always up there, man. Yep. We really appreciate your support. Drew, I see the 28-14. I see what you're doing there. Yeah, F the flu is right, or PH the flu.
Yeah.
This is, well, from what I heard, it was either a 3:30 or 7:30 kick next week for FSU Miami. We'll see what the 6-day option comes up.
Yeah, you dropped those tidbits on the tribal council. Thank you.
Well, and people are mad about it. I'm like, listen, if it if we knew what the kickoff was, it wouldn't be a 6-day option. They just announced what the kickoff is.
Well, that's the thing. I've been dealing with this for years, Tom, on the message boards. They think this is predetermined. Like somebody knows it and they're hiding it in Bristol somewhere.
Right.
And it's under lock and key. Oh, you know when the kickoff is, you just don't want to tell us. There's a reason why they're delaying it, because they're not sure when kickoff's going to be. It depends on what happens in the games.
Well, and sometimes it's not even the ACC that's the reason for game times to pivot. Sometimes the whole college football world goes freaking crazy, and you never thought that a certain matchup would be something you'd want to put on primetime, and then the domino effect falls. But what they try to do is help the TV crews with plans of, here are your two potential options. Go book your flights and get those things out of the way. Anyway, that's too much about next week. Right now, we also appreciate Kevin again, my man.
Thank you, Kevin. Wow.
Freshmen are stepping up all over the country. That's right. Now, what I would tell you is Florida State did dip into the transfer portal and had a couple of key players come in here and make some immediate impacts. Mm-hmm. It's not enough. It's an overhaul that's necessary here. Keir Thomas had the game of his life today, Gene. It wasn't just
Keir.
It wasn't a couple of sacks that were the highlight. It might have been the cramp
call.
The cramp, which
that was awesome, man.
The ACC officials who couldn't see that the ball clearly hit the freaking turf with Amika Emezi on Jarvis Brownlee. It certainly did. And Keir, we appreciate you, man. Plus,
because FC State was going to get that off. You could tell they were smart. They got up. I think they would have got that snap off if he doesn't do that, and they would not review that play.
Yeah.
Agreed. I mean, they were, and that's fantastic. And I saw someone on our boards go, isn't this the same crap we always complain about? It's different to me when a team is, you're stopping a team that's got momentum, they're going hurry up offense, you're impeding the game. The ACC make an incompetent call that was horrible, and they were too stupid to blow the whistle to review it.
Right.
Well, he's righting a wrong. It's a totally different situation in my mind.
Yeah, so we'll get to the phone calls in just a moment. This is the WarChant.com postgame show, and you see the phone number right there, 850-805-5911. This is, in the grand scheme of things, there have been some postgame shows earlier this year, Gene, for good and bad reasons, that we went deep into the night. This one is it's a little bit more simple than that. I would have given FSU maybe a 10-15% chance to win the football game at kickoff, given what we knew about the absences in the roster. And then they give you just a little bit of hope. And the moment that you start to feel some hope that they could pull this one out, they pull it away, and here we are. So 28-14 is the final. Any other things, Gene, that you want to break down or talk about before we go to those phone lines, or do we want to?
Not much. I know I'm looking at some of our chat feed. Thank you, our chat participants on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, and it's kind of cool. We get to see – I love the interaction with all the fans. People complaining. Look, Florida State got called for two penalties. And, there was a horrible pass interference – that didn't get called. Florida State ended up scoring anyway on that drive, a couple of them. I will take any ACC game ever where Florida State gets flagged twice. And there were a couple that went on NC State. I was like, okay, all right. Well, sure, you can go ahead and call that. So this is one of the few games. And I'm leading the charge with the officiating. But this isn't one of them. That was not. Florida State was outmatched. Again, Tom could say it a million times. I know people don't like to hear it. I don't like to hear it. It was simply, you had – your quarterback was out. The interior line is out. It ruined everything you do offensively. I think defensively they played well enough to win the game. I know 28 points doesn't look great. They had some horrible tackling plays there on a couple plays. But really, it comes down to that. You hate it. It sounds like an excuse. And I'm not making excuses to coaches. People say, just admit, I ranted in the beginning. I thought one of those horrific calls in my mind is that fourth down call, because I think you had a legitimate shot to win the game, but for that. But at the end of the day, given Florida State's limitations of personnel, NC State was the better team. And the result, it was about a 14-point game. That's probably what it should have been.
Yeah, I think that, the fourth down call, if you're at full strength, maybe. I just, the fourth and four element of it.
Was Alex not here for my rant earlier on? Alex, go back and rewind. I ranted. I started the segment off by going off. I was not happy, let's just say the least, about the fourth down call.
I think that's a debate that might rear its head if we get to where we want to go in 2 or 3 years, where you're competing for the Atlantic and a playoff berth, if the playoff obviously expands to 8 or 12 teams. Like, at that point, with the roster that's more loaded, is Mike Norvell still making these decisions, or is he doing it now with a depleted roster because there's a sense of desperation that this might be our best chance to get to a certain place? That the circumstances of that call that I don't like are you were backed up inside your own 1 yard line. So you'd gotten out, and you're in a situation where you can flip field position at that point. You don't have two guards you trust on the field at that moment. Your running game is not going to get you that first down on fourth and four. You had just missed an open throw. And the defense, even though it gave up a critical score at 14-7 in this game, the defensive line
The last three drives, they dominated. Three drives in a row, they completely had NC State spooked at that point. They were out of it at that point. Yep. So,
That makes
it. I don't regurgitate. Go back and rewind my rant. I'm not going to do it again. I thought it was a horrible call. I think momentum was in Florida State's favor. You would have flipped the field, which is a problem this game. You were losing field position most of the time. Their punter was pinning Florida State back all day long, and we were not doing that good of a job on it. But that was a situation where you had momentum on your side. You know, you would have liked to have gone on and score, but I think the fact that you picked the first few downs, you could have pinned them. And I still think basically momentum would be on your side. It looked like they were going to blow Florida State out. Suddenly it's a one-score game. You pin them down. The crowd's in it in your fourth quarter. That's reading the room. That's a look, we've got a chance. Maybe the defense makes a play down there. Maybe you force a turnover down there. Maybe you get them. They go three and out down there, and they punt, and they're freaking out. They're like, oh, crap, we can see. It's going the other way.
Right.
But you didn't give your defense a chance. You pinned them. You made them. You put their backs against the wall.
Yeah, when he made that decision, Gene, against Notre Dame earlier in the season, things seemed to be falling apart. So he was trying.
That's different, yeah.
Correct. He was trying to put his finger into the leak and say, well, listen, this is out of hand. My defense is exhausted. I've got to go for it here. There was no such desperation in this particular moment. And I think the strongest point of all, you know, obviously in your rant, there's like 12 of them that I like. The best one is, okay, so what? You get the first down. What about this offense suggests to you that you're going to be able to march the other 50 yards to actually pay this off with a touchdown? Your defense probably has a better chance of putting you in a short field than your offense does in that moment. That's where the context of it, it's a toughie. I think the bot and the analytics would say, yeah, you might want to go for it. But the context, you're right. Read the room.
And here's the other thing I'll say, too. I'm not against going for a fourth down your own. I mean, look, if they had a solid offensive line, they've been running the ball well, and it's a fourth and one, maybe one and a half, two.
Yeah.
It's a different thing. That's the thing. Every situation. That's what I don't like about analytics when people say, oh, analytics, because every situation is unique.
Yeah.
And given, like you pointed out, given what was going on with the offensive line and the play and you're one-dimensional in that situation, it was a horrible call. You got a good offensive line, you're running the ball well in a fourth and one, I don't have a problem with it, because then analytics say, yeah, you're running the ball well, you're getting 4 or 5 yards a clip. You can probably get 1 yard if your offensive line is getting pushed consistently in the game. Yeah. That was not happening. There was no chance in the world they're running the football.
No.
Even worse than that, yeah, there was no chance. Fourth and one, at least there's some – look, they have to at least respect it. You can't fourth and four. There's no chance in the world they're going to run the football.
No, not with that personnel grouping out there. And that's the thing, too, Gene, is even on the fourth and one from, or the fourth and inches from the goal to go situation, Corbin has to make an exceptional play. He gets in the end zone, but even to get to the line to gain.
Why again do they have Mackenzie Milton try to do a QB sneak? How many times do they need to have him try to do that? And it never works. I mean, that's the thing that drives me nuts about Mike Norvell, keeps repeating these things over and over and over again.
Yeah,
or Dillingham, or whoever's making that call.
Yeah, the number one missed assignment to me on that play is Corbin. The Reggie Bush push is legal. What are we doing, man? He's just standing there. And then at the end, he's like, oh, should I have to? Up there. Go. Yaki Kadafi.
He made up for it on the next play, though. We give him that. Oh, yes, Yaki Kadafi.
The 954, man. We really appreciate your support. Yeah, exactly. With Van Dyke coming in, we'll see. We'll see.
That defense could be had, though. If Georgia Tech can put up the numbers they did against Miami,
yep.
You get a healthy line, you can run on this team, and this is one where you're going to need to score in the 30s to win that game. But I think a healthy offense, you're capable of doing that against Miami.
We want to hear good things about Dylan Gibbons, Bavion Johnson, and Jordan Travis in no particular order this upcoming week to help for the chances to beat Miami next Saturday. We go to the phone lines. It's Gator. It's my man, Gator Kirk. Virginia Beach. All right, Gator. It's a toughie today. Go ahead. Your thoughts.
I shouldn't have went for it on the fourth down, but, you know, that's the way things work. So we just got to put it behind us. By the way, I am so tired of hearing about Willie Taggart and how good he was here. People just don't understand what a train wreck he was. But anyway, my question is, where are we going to go from here to regroup for the U? Because a big win over them would make a huge difference.
Yeah, you've nailed it. I mean, I had a conversation with my buddy today. I go, you know, what happens this game? You'd love to win it. It would have been a huge win for Florida State. But especially when we knew Jordan Travis wasn't starting, nobody really felt they were going to win this game. But at the end of the day, you're able to beat Miami. I think regardless of what happens the final two games after that, I think you chalk this up as you're pretty happy. Relatively happy, I should say. I don't know if you're happy, but you're relatively happy. You would have beat a rival. You would have stopped their little mini run that they've had here lately. I think it gives you some momentum going into recruiting. So I think that would be huge. And what he said, what do they have to do? Tom mentioned earlier, you got to get healthy. You've got to get those key factors back on offense out there and play and call a good game. Don't make mistakes and, you know, find a way to limit Van Dyke a little bit.
Right. Yeah. And you just got to be who you are as this team. Yeah. I know that sounds funny, but this team doesn't give up. It's got heart. That's the thing I like about them. You know, listen, they have no business being in that football game today. And the players found a way to make it interesting. And there were certain things that, you know, that were influenced. The onside kick was a great call that helped influence the situation. Great job by Grothaus. I hope he's healthy. I saw he came out of the game and Fitzgerald made the next kickoff. So hopefully Parker's all right. But that was a big play in the game. They found a way to make it interesting, even though they're completely outgunned. That's the positive of this thing. And the positive is they've had multiple chances this year, Gene, to pack it in and show that they are the same toxic culture that was the end of Jimbo's tenure and that was the Willie Taggart tenure pretty much the entire time.
This Who's saying Willie Taggart was a good coach? Someone's actually saying that. I missed that.
Maybe somebody out in the street in the 757 was like, Willie was good. I'm not sure. But we go to a pillar out in Cincinnati. He was a game day this morning. You're watching game day. It's Eric Angel. What's going on, Eric? Welcome to the program and your thoughts on this particular game tonight.
Hey, Tom and Gene. What's going on, man?
Hey, Eric, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Gene. Thanks for asking. I tell you what, man, Coach Norvell, he's, like you said, Gene, he's got to stop gambling on our own side of the ball on these fourth downs. I mean, because, you know, next year, you know, if we still have this recruiting class intact, I mean, yeah, that'd probably be a plus, but, man, he's just killing us. And I tell you what, man, these ACC refs, they suck. I mean, I saw a guy on a punt return. We're getting ready to receive the ball. He left before the ball was even snapped. So that's a legal man downfield. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And my question is, where do we go from here, guys? Because honestly, I saw that Miami game a little bit against Georgia Tech. I don't think we can beat the U. I mean, I hope we can because Coach Novell, he's got to regroup these guys fast and the furious.
But, Eric, let me ask you, how many points did Georgia Tech, who's got one of the worst offenses in the ACC, how many did they score on Miami today?
I didn't see the final score, but I knew Miami won the game.
30 is the answer.
They gave up 30 points to a horrible Georgia Tech offense. Miami's offense is clicking, but I am telling you that defense can be had with a healthy Jordan Travis, a healthy offensive line. Florida State can run it down their throats. I'm telling you, man, they got a shot.
I totally agree with you guys, 100%. You know me, I'm all Florida State, man.
Don't give up on them. I know today was ugly, but you can't judge this team by what happened. This wasn't Florida State. They didn't have their team out there. I know we hate the loss. You hate the way things turned out there in the game, but man, Florida State did not come It was shorthanded. That's what it is. At the end of the day, they were not going to win this game. As soon as Jordan Travis and Gibbons was out, they weren't going to win this game.
Well, and the hard part too, and Eric, we appreciate the call. And, I think it's noteworthy that you don't feel that great about the Miami game because you're one of the biggest optimists we have, the entire fan base. So, hopefully tomorrow you feel a little bit better about things, but I can understand why. The thing that, Gene, I was going to talk about, again, when this was 14-0 at halftime, I was thinking, how can you even rag on any of these kids because you don't know what percent any of them are operating at. Now, most of them could be fine, but it's just you can't pinpoint for me, especially on the offensive line. Like, are guys just gutting through, flu-like symptoms where they're getting IVs at halftime and they're getting IVs in the pregame? Like, and they weren't able to practice beyond whatever film work they could be sent to their iPads, mm-hmm. a good chunk of these players. So it would have been hard to criticize the guys for not being at full strength personnel-wise. But then also, the guys that were on the field, we don't know. We don't know what kind of motor they had.
How much did they practice? How weak were they going into the whole thing? I mean, that's
– right.
It sounds like we're making an excuse, but when the flu ravages your team, I mean, it is what it is here. You almost have to watch this game and, like, you know, this – William Green's here. Like, I'm not saying Florida State is a good offensive line, but they were top 20 rushing the football this season, Tom?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, when they have Jordan Travis, when you have a healthy offensive line, look, they're good enough to run effectively against a bad defense. Well, Miami's got a bad defense. If they've got everybody healthy, they can run for a lot of yards against a team like Miami. It doesn't mean they're going to win, but it means they can put up some points, and that gives you a chance to win the game. That's what I'm saying. So it's different. This game, they didn't have a good offensive line, obviously, because they were shorthanded, and you had a quarterback that made them one-dimensional, which made it even worse.
Yeah, to me, you know, I get the angry mob is always going to be angry after a loss, but it, like, is this the one that really you're going to say fire the staff for? I mean, you know, maybe alcohol is not the thing you need. Maybe something else that'll make you a little
bit more. Oh, yes, it is, Tom.
No, well, there's something out there that can make you a little more cheerful. We go to Ocala and we talk to Gene. Gene is always a caller on this particular program. Welcome back, Gene, and give us your thoughts on tonight's game.
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing tonight?
Happy to be talking to you.
Hey, Gene. Doing well.
Well, Gene, I just want to say that I'm glad you got all the explicitives out. I wouldn't have to get on the phone and do it.
They're not out yet. I got a few still ready to go. I'm still mad.
I asked you guys this a couple of weeks ago. Does it seem like he shrinks in these moments, making these decisions, when it's just obvious, flip the field? Coach Fuller, it's just obvious. Hey, I've seen this before. Notre Dame, a screenplay might be coming. You're going to send everybody down the field? Are you going to play some kind of shell to make every – just it's just these decisions down the stretch. It seems like it hurts us more than it helps us. And but I can't keep hurting my team with these decisions that I'm making. After a while, it seems like it takes us back to the early 2000s. When Jeffrey Bowden was calling plays and the defense would give them their all, and then three and out. And it just, you're playing your hearts out. Why would you do your defense that way? And it just seems like just questionable play calling. Appreciate the call. Appreciate you taking my call. You guys have a good night.
Thanks, Gene.
You too, Gene. Have a good night. Yeah, I mean, Gene makes a good point. I mean, there's a couple games you can put right on the coaches. I mean, he mentioned, you know, when they blitzed against Notre Dame on that play and they got burned. You can mention the Jacksonville State. Again, we've been through it a million times, but the defensive call on that final play of the game, you know, that's a L right there on Adam Fuller, 100%. Look, and someone even said, look, someone said, here we go, I'll put this up. The game, look, I'm pissed about the fourth down call because they had, despite what I thought was going to go into the game, they put themselves in a position where they had a fighting chance to potentially win the game. And when they didn't convert that fourth down, for all intents and purposes, to me, it ended it. That was it. Because every time they don't convert a fourth down their own end, the other team scores every single time. So to me, the game was effective. When you didn't pick it up, the odds, like I said, based on third down percentages, based on what was going on, the one-dimensional nature, there was a 15 to 20% chance they're going to convert that. So that means there's an 80-plus percent chance the game's over. I'm not going to – that's bad odds. I don't like them doing that. Were they going to win? I don't know. But if they would have flipped the field, they got a fighting chance, even though Florida State's lost to teams when they were the better team. NC State was the better team. That doesn't mean Florida State had no chance to win. It looked like it at halftime, but they put themselves in position midway in the fourth quarter. They had a fighting chance to win this thing. And that call, in my mind, ended all chances they had. As soon as they didn't convert that, in my opinion, it was over.
Yeah, like I didn't necessarily think, Gene, that that the game was over in that moment, but it just got a whole lot harder. It got a whole lot harder to win.
When has that not burned him? Name one time in Norvell's tenure when he's gone for it fourth in his own end when it didn't burn his ass.
Yeah. I mean,
every time. How many times does he have to do this where it loses the game?
Well,
or it puts him in position where the game's effectively over.
Given that he's got like a handful of wins, I don't have very many jobs.
Well, I know, but I mean, it just has not worked in his favor. Again, you're right. Read the room in that situation. We're going to go over it again, but I thought it was a horrible call. That I don't think too many people are going to debate me. They don't think that was a good call. Given all the circumstances, it was not a good call.
Correct, Gina. This is where we agree here is like in theory, the numbers might say something, but you're looking at the situation and all the evidence you have before you. And you're right. 2 of 16 is what we finished on third down. I think we were 2 of 14 in that moment. Like what is it that you think that you can grab 4 yards, you know, in that moment? No, with NC State knowing exactly what's coming and what's the benefit? That's the other question is what's the benefit of doing that in that moment? Angel, hey man, we're not calling out your null card. Not at all. We're
just
you're always, always, always behind the nulls. And we know that. And that's why we love you,
Eric. You're a pillar, buddy. We're just saying, man, do not give up on this team. I'm telling you, they're going to be a better team when they get Jordan back. They get Gibbons back. They're at full strength next week. So I'm just saying, don't give up on them. And I know you're not going to. I know you're positive. You love the Noles. We're not calling you out at all.
It was fun to talk to Shane last night, too. Shane and Michelle were down from Cincinnati. The Pillars, man, they come here in full force.
Yep.
And we're always happy to welcome to Tallahassee. So we can now go out to Colorado to talk to Kyle. Kyle, you want to talk about some body language? Okay, go right ahead. Welcome to the World Champ Postgame Show.
First things first, gentlemen, I love you guys. You always bring me back to center, and I appreciate it. So I got to get some insight from you to help understand this. I feel like this game is a Jerry and Jones blown coverage and a Jerry and Jones bad angle missed tackle on a screen away from going to overtime, where we probably still lose, but that's okay. My question is this. In the fourth quarter, they show Jamie Robinson losing his mind with frustration on the sideline, and Adam Fuller calmed him down. Right beside him was Jerry and Jones acting like nothing ever happened. How does a player who makes those mistakes kind of not really address it when his teammate is kind of losing his mind with frustration next to him? Is that indicative of like a player, or is it something like certain players care, other players don't? Like, kind of help me understand what's going on.
All right. Well, so it's a question. Basically, Kyle is not very happy with number seven today.
And number seven had a rough game.
He did. On that first touchdown, I think that's good scheme by NC State. We're playing four high, and you've got a route that takes the safety, Jamie Robinson, down. And there might be it might be on seven that the communication was not where it should be. I have a hard time, you know, with some blown coverages. Sometimes it's obvious. Like the Akeem Dent play. Where they score to go up 21-7. I mean, there's no excuse for that.
What was that?
That's not scheme. But questioning in that moment what the communication should have been between safety and corner, just because there's an off chance that maybe Jerrion did the right thing on the screenplay that puts NC State up on 3rd-and-7, they score to get it up to 28 points. It's one-on-one. You just got to make a play, and he didn't, and that's rough. As for body language and stuff on the sidelines, I don't know how much it could accomplish in the moment if Jerrion shows more spirit and he seems as sorry as we want him to feel in that moment. That's always tough to me because, Gene, you covered it longer than I have. Everybody's wired a little bit differently. I'm not trying to excuse anything away. If people are showing body language that they don't give a damn, well, then that's a problem. But
there's a composure thing. You're not going to lose it because you made a bad play. I don't know. I'm not in the sidelines. I don't know everything that happened there. Like you said, everybody's different. So I'm not going to draw too much from that. Players had rough games. I mean, it is what it is. And some are more fired up. And I think Jamie, I love the emotion Jamie Robinson shows out there. I mean, he's out there making tackles. He's fired up. I love that. I love that he's cared. How about, Brownlee going nuts on that play when the incompletion did happen. Thank goodness. Our guy Keir went down and made sure they looked at that. But I mean, I love the emotion out of that too. So we like that. But that's like you said, some guys just aren't emotional. Doesn't mean they don't care.
Right.
They might just be different.
I do love when guys are passionate, like a Keir Thomas, like a Jamie Robinson, though, because I mean, that's how we feel. That's how we feel as fans. And here's a little bit of passion for you. Thanks for the $2, Hurricane. It is Miami Hate Week now. And you can tell us that we're ass, but I mean, name me your ACC championship since you joined the All Canes Conference.
Yeah. How many got right there, here? Hurricane?
Yeah, go ahead. When you can do that, we'll accept your money again.
But we'll take your tip. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the $2. We appreciate you. That's about how much you've brought to the ACC in terms of monetary value since you joined the conference 20 years ago. Billy in Crawfordville is next up on the WarChant.com post-game show. Billy, welcome to the program. How you doing, all things considered, tonight, man?
Man, I'm doing great, man. I'll be doing better if we won the game.
Yeah. But,
hey, it is what it is. Here's my thing, though. Are we teaching tackling? Because it seems like every game we have tackling issues. There were two touchdowns tonight. There shouldn't have been touchdowns. But because we can't tackle, they're touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, that's fundamentals. It's just fundamentals. And it goes back to the State game. You tackle a guy, there's no touchdown. There's no touchdown. And then the play calling. All this fourth down, going for it on fourth down on our 40-yard line and stuff. I mean, at a point, you got to realize, okay, we're not that good. We're really not that good, especially on offense. So why do you do that? Why do you put your defense in that position, number one?
Billy, don't get me going again. I'm finally calming down, and you're getting me fired up again.
Number two, it's common sense. And when you have an aggressive defense like NC State, why do you not throw screen passes? If they're going to blow by you anyway, run a screen pass. Just run a screen pass.
I don't know how many.
5 yards is 5 yards. 5 yards is 5 yards. You can nickel and dime them all the way down the field.
Well,
add.
I appreciate.
I'll let on Utah. Thank you, Billy. I'll put that on Utah. I didn't see a ton of blitzes from them. Did you see a lot of blitzes?
They're running 3-3-5. They can. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know that we can matriculate the ball down the field on UMass all that much either. Like, you know, that was maybe the one game this year where we could 5 yards at a time. That's not this offense. I mean, you know. NC State sniffed out a lot of things that we did. In fact, a couple of screen plays and shuffle plays that we dialed up, we had to bail out of because they had it covered. So I agree with you on some other things though. Billy, the fourth down, of course, you know, if you're reading the room, as Gene says, I get the analytics play, and I will typically be a forward thinking analytics guy who's like, yeah, I could see what you're doing in that situation. I think the Ravens and the NFL are an exceptional franchise at knowing when to push that button.
You got Lamar Jackson at quarterback. It's a little different.
But also where on the field they go, like they're forward thinking. And so therefore, you know, you're abiding by different rules. But when you've got Mackenzie Milton at quarterback and this version of him, not 3 years ago, Mackenzie Milton, you got these receivers. You don't have your two starting guards, in my mind. Again, Bavion, I think, is a better option at guard. So you can't run the football. It's a pass-obvious play. I mean, what would you say you do here? Like, and what's the benefit?
You punt. That's what you do there. It's not even a decision. There is no decision.
Bad tackling has reared its head, but I can't pin this on the defense. I can't pin this game on the defense.
There was some bad tackling. But he makes a good point. There were a couple really horrific tackles that cost you big time. But on the whole, we got to look in the context of the whole thing. The defense did play well enough. Look, I mean, they had 13, 14 drives in the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, exactly. And you had bad – a lot of times your backup was against the wall because you were losing the field position battle. It's not, considering where this defense was not too long ago, that's not bad. I think they played well enough to win the game. If your offense was more competent, I think you win the game there.
Well, and what was interesting too, this is why it's so complex to me, Gene. You know, just when I was like, all right, you're limited, you know, they pull a rabbit out of their hat in the half. You know, they're like, all right, screw it. Here we go again. We can't run the effing ball. So let's go four wide. Spread it out and see if we can make some magic happen. And they did that. Like that first drive was okay. I think you catch NC State.
They were swimming from the onside kick. Yeah. Hey, was the catch by Keyshaw? Do you think he was throwing the ball away? Throwing the ball away? Okay. I'm watching this. Was this Joe Montana and the damn Dwight Clark in the Super Bowl? That I'm like, what was that? He spun around twice, threw it, and Keyshawn runs across the whole end zone and catches that. Like, where did that come from?
No, I think he's trying to airmail that. He doesn't have the arm strength to get it out of the back of the end zone. So it's eight play.
Don't say that, Tom, because they were going, what a great play that was.
Well, anytime.
Oh, man, you blew my world. I thought about that. Like, I don't want to tell myself he probably was throwing the ball away, but I don't want to think that. Now you're.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
No, Gene, anytime anything good happens with McKenzie, it's like everybody has to fall and lie prostrate and worship at the altar of like, all right, it's a great story. Like, I get it, but, you know, he's a limited player. So that's why we were where we were today. Kevin, we appreciate you again. Yeah. You know what? I thought we did a better job, obviously, of catching the football today in the punt game and letting it go when we should have let it go. But that kid put some English on the football a couple of times. You're just like, we did the right things. It just ended up that the punters
their punter was better than our punter. I mean, it was pretty obvious. They began, well, other than the onside kick, and obviously that was a good call. Yeah. That was film study because you watch, and they pointed that out. NC State's front line was bailing on kicks, and that's something by film study is important. They saw that, and they go, okay, let's practice that. We can get away with this, and it works. So that is something the coaches did well on special teams. But other than that, once again, everything else on special team was bad. And I'll tell you, Hickman here, I will tell you what right here, Tom, I will shave the beard if they beat Miami. How about that?
Okay. Not live on the postgame show, though, right?
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to see that. But I will. Okay, I'll throw it out there right now. So you don't like the beard. I will shave it if we beat Miami. Right now I'm calling it.
All right. Well, we see that. So, we now stick in Tallahassee. Let's go to Scoop in Tallahassee. Scoop, welcome to the WarChant.com postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Are y'all allowed to drink while y'all watch the game?
Before, during, and after. And even more after this game.
Okay, great. That's great. Hey, I think you guys do a great job. I want to ask you this. I understand, you know, we beat down play. Before we snapped the ball, I was thinking we should punt. But we've talked about that a lot. But could you guys help me understand? I think we were down by 14, and we declined a holding penalty when we had NC State on. Okay, so that's one question. And after that, I think it's, I really think we need to reset the clock because just the game management is terrible and the same things happen over and over. What about Hugh Freeze? Give me your thoughts on that.
Oh, man.
Woo, he goes right there to Hugh Freeze. Well, declining the penalty, yeah, it was dumb. I mean, the commentators even brought that up. I mean, I get it. They're trying to. I guess the thinking was we need to save some time, so give him one less down. But still, man, you're pinning him. You're pinning him to me. But here's the thing. And again, you don't go by just that. You got to think the next level because what you're doing at that point, you're putting him even further back. They're even getting more conservative because they're up against. You got a 2-touchdown lead. Now you're inside your 10-yard line. You're definitely running the ball up the middle. There's no chance you're doing anything else. And I think you can really stack the box at that point and boom, 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 get the ball back.
Yeah, that's another one that I'm in between on because it's 7 yards or 40 seconds. That's what you're weighing there. Like, so what's more valuable?
You got a guaranteed punt, though, at that point because they're so far back they can't do anything out of fear.
Correct. And given the fact that I think there was 7 minutes and change left, that in college football, that's an opportunity. That's an
opportunity. You had enough time.
Yes, that you've got enough time to accept that penalty. It's like this isn't as bad to me as, say, the Syracuse game week three of Willie's first year where they're declining stuff on special teams. You're like, what? This makes no sense. Like, what are we doing?
Personal fouls on special teams. Nope. We're good.
I get what they're doing, and I think in some circumstances they're the right calls, but I know it's the phrase, I should just wear it on a T-shirt so I don't have to say it anymore, but if you're reading the room and maybe you apply it at the wrong times – I could see.
We'll cut two minutes left, 3 minutes left. I agree with you at that point. You're in desperate. You need every freaking second. But
yeah,
because they ran for a few yards and they were able to pass. They were far enough out at that point they could pass the ball, and they did. And that made them dimensional. We talk about one dimensional. Well, they're two dimensional. This defense doesn't do so well. You have a huge advantage. They're back against their own end. Trust me, Dave Dorn ain't chucking the ball around inside his 10-yard line. There's no freaking way. And when you get them to any team in that situation, you have a gigantic advantage on them, and they're going to go three and out, and they're going to punt.
Yeah, and Scoop, to answer the question on my part, the reason I don't drink during the games is because it's a little bit like air traffic control, like making sure everything's going okay during this broadcast at the end. Plus, with this group, nah, man, like, you know, if you start, it's hard to stop when you're watching some of the things you see.
Tom's got more responsibilities than I do, so I get away with it. I'm the boss. I can go ahead and drink.
You've earned that right, and that's something. Kim, we appreciate you. You know, if Jordan Travis is healthy, the answer to your question is no, I don't think so. If Jordan's healthy, he's going to play.
Was there some thought, Tom, that they might have pulled? I mean, did you think there was any chance in the second half that Tate might have gone out there?
Well, Gene, after two drives, I thought, is it maybe time? Because the way this thing started, I'm like, I don't know that McKenzie's got anything in the tank. But I'll tell you that when they cut to the sideline at one point in the – it was either late first half or early second half, Tate may have had his helmet on, but you're reading the expression on his face.
Yeah, he wasn't in it.
He wasn't going in that game. There was no way he was playing today. It was McKenzie all the way. We go up next to New York, and we talk to Brad in New York, who wants to talk about a key transfer portal development this week. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Gene. Thanks for having me. I know you guys have talked about this ad nauseum this week. I was just wanted to get your insight on what you think Chuba Purdy would have potentially brought to the game. If you think it would have changed or you know, if you think he would have had an impact. And also, now that the game's over, do you guys have any insight as to what happened there? Anything else you can share on that?
All right, Gene, you want to take that first?
Well, thank you, Brad, for calling in. I mean, I was told by a source I trust that if Chuba was here, he would have started. So, I mean, take that for what it's worth. I think what it does do is we don't know. He might have just crapped his pants. It might not have worked. But, I mean, I will say I think he opens up the running game again because he has the mobility. You're not going to do – you notice there was no zone reads, read options. You can't do that. Nobody's going to respect McKenzie Milton running. And he did run a couple times, and hats off to him, man. Able to do that, but no defense is going to respect that. So I think it would have opened some things up for the running game had he been out there. But again, as Tom pointed out, without your two top guards, you know, you maybe could have run a little bit better. How much of a difference would it make? We'll never know. Yep. It would have been nice to see. And it might have, whether he wanted to transfer or not, it might have helped him to get some more reps out there. It might have helped his teammates. I mean, I don't have a lot of information to share on the reasoning. I think a lot of people are kind of taken off guard. I mean, it was right after the Clemson game. I heard he flew home to Arizona. I don't know if he's back on campus or what he's doing, but it was a little bit out of the blue. I've not heard a legitimate reason why I don't understand why any player transfers midseason. I don't get it, but I have not heard an explanation.
Yeah, Leslie, Chubb was third on the depth chart, but recall, you know, in the UMass game, McKenzie said, you know, it's all right, I'll stand aside and let these young guys get some reps. And if you're looking for continuity in a game plan and what we can do in the offense, Chubb fits it better. So here's one of the reasons, and this is partially to your question, Leslie. Here's one of the reasons before things got interesting in the second half, I would have a really hard time pinning this one on Kenny or any of the coaches because I don't know what they got to install this week. Like, so if you're saying, well, why are we running the offense that Jordan Travis would run to start the game against NC State or for the entirety of the first half? Well, they might not have been able to practice together that much for all we know. And that's the hard part, is how much can you really game plan for NC State when you're worrying every morning who's going to be available to you each day? Mm-hmm. It's just, it gets unfair at that point. And maybe you expected to have one of your guards and he wasn't available. You know, I saw that Cam McDonald gutted it out today, but Jordan Wilson got the start at tight end. Hopefully Lawrence Toafili comes back, but they had actual injuries and then they had the flu bug. And it's not just a Florida State specific thing. If you're not paying attention to what's going on here in Tallahassee, I mean, it's not a team specific thing. The whole campus is gone with the flu. They got emails being sent to staff members at Florida State University saying, don't send anybody to Thagard. It's full. Our clinic is full. Like, nobody come here. So, you know, unless it's absolutely necessary. So it's a really hard week to pin it down and just come down hard on players and coaches for not executing at the level that we expect them to. Cause I don't know what they got done Monday through Friday. Like, what can you accomplish if you're not there to work on anything? That would be my take on it. But we've been down that road a few times already. So we'll stick to the state of New York and one of our frequent callers to this particular program, the warchant.com postgame call and show. Hey, Josh, welcome to the program as always.
Hey, what's going on, guys? First, I want to just say, I think there should be like post-game pillars because I can't make it to the show. But anyway, that's just a suggestion for the captain himself. But anyway,
like Josh is an official post-game pillar. There we go.
That's just me politicking. But anyway, I'm actually happy. You know why? Because I feel like we're going to win the next three games. I watched Miami today. And I am not afraid of that at all.
There we go. That's what we're talking about. Let's go, Josh.
North Carolina has a better offense. NC State has a better offense. Wake has a better offense. Like, I wasn't afraid of anything of what I saw today and the last couple of weeks. Florida, please, Dan Mullen's too weird for them to win anyway. I don't really respect him. And then Boston College, we can go right up there, and they're the worst of the three. So I'm not afraid of the next three games. I think we could win the next three games, and I think everybody would be happy if we won it. This game is a throwaway game. You've seen Wake Forest today give up 50 points. They gave 56 points up to Army, and we had McKenzie starting, and we scored 14 against them. So, like, that is the biggest difference. So no one should be upset about today. Today is fine. We're okay. I was really happy with our defense. We had we forced, like, three punts in the first quarter. We punted every time, and like, we were still playing well. We fought. And that's why I'm just so bullish of our team going forward. I think it's going to be great. Everybody just do the Aaron Rodgers. I know it's not, like, just relax. We're going to be fine, and we're going to win the next three games, man. Go Noles.
Thanks, Josh. Yeah, don't
get me wrong, Josh.
Where, like, you make up stuff. Just the relax part. We'll stick to that. That part of it. But that's the hard thing to see right now, Gene, because in the moments after a loss, you're emotional about things. If 14 to nothing and that trend held true for the next 30 minutes, we'd be sitting here saying, well, this is a clinical, no pun intended, with the flu bug that's going on in Tallahassee, but this is a clinical game. There's an easy reason as to why Florida State was not in position to win. But then when they give you hope and they put a rally together and they get within a score, now the emotions return. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think the overriding thing is what Josh is saying. I'm choosing in this particular week to say, man, they fought through all kinds of ridiculous adversity this week, and they put themselves in a close position. You could be mad about Mike and fourth down. You could be mad about certain situational things. But if we're sitting here next week and Miami absolutely torches Florida State's defense, be mad then. But this is a tough one to really put a lot of weight into. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And I appreciate Josh's perspective. I think we're trying to – not being apologetic, but, man, sometimes circumstances dictate things. I mean, it's not just, well, Florida State lost by 14 points to NC State. Man, there's a lot more to this right now. Joel Davis.
Thank you, Joel.
Oh, my goodness.
My goodness. Hey, man, you're the Duff man. We're going to call you the Duff man. Oh, yeah. Because he believes in AJ Duffy, who.
Game changers are coming, he says. We got a couple. Like, if they can hang in there and they sign and they're here. And that's the thing. You probably saw that with Duffy now that he got banged up. I think it was his finger.
Yep.
That he's going to now, everything's set. He should be enrolling early at Florida State, man, to get that spring practice in, get those extra reps in, and get acclimated to college. That's huge. Especially now that Chuba's not there, man. It's going to be a little bit of a race.
One fewer hurdle. And that's right. There was about, I don't know, a 2 or 3 hour period where people are freaking out this week because it happened to be the same day that Chuba entered the transfer portal, that the news came out that AJ Duffy was leaving IMG. And then
somebody said it's over on our message board. He's gone. Like, oh boy.
I'm sure like 95 people said it's over on the message boards in the last hour. That's okay though. They're there for venting. So there you go. That's what they're there for. Joel, we are eternally grateful for your support. Thank you. We promise to put it to good use. I promise you there. Gene, did you post something
else? Did you see this one? I appreciate the $4.99, but man, you're going to have to tip a lot more than that for me to shave my head. I'm sorry, dude.
Hey, you know what? Some guy figured out.
Even more, you'd have to pay me to wear a Miami jersey. I don't think there's enough money. I don't think YouTube will let you tip enough money. There's probably some limit for me to wear a Miami jersey. I'd shave my head before doing that. No freaking way that will ever happen. I'll give you the U. If you're the U, I'll give you that. But that's about as far as you're getting.
Oh, man. Some guy, figure out what that number is. We'd love to see it.
Yeah. You can try. You can keep throwing money. You may hit it, but you're way off.
We go, and that gentleman who's clearing his throat right now is Alex, and he's in Tallahassee. He's the next caller on the warchant.com postgame show. Alex, go ahead with your thoughts, and welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Hanging
in. Doing well.
Good. I'm actually not that surprised about the turnout today. I mean, with the flu, lack of practice, no Travis, no Chuba, I'm not shocked at all. And I don't want to get Gene fired up again at that fourth down call.
Thank you.
But I'm going to change gears a little bit. But the past week, it seems that recruiting's been a big topic, especially between Kirby Smart and Dan Mullen after their game last week. And I think Texas A&M had a big recruiting day today as well. But hypothetically, I'm going to go opposite of what Josh was saying. I don't think we beat Miami. Van Dyke looks pretty darn good. He had almost 400 yards today and 3 touchdowns. I don't think we beat UF, and just playing Boston College and Boston just does not make me feel any better about it. How are they going to sell our product to recruits now, especially with some of these bonehead calls that Norvell has been doing all season? It just seems to be a hard sell. I want to get y'all's thoughts on that.
All right.
Well, thank you, Alex. Well, I mean, these players that had committed, most of them have been committed since Florida State was a 3-win team last year. And the product on the field was a lot worse than you're seeing now. I mean, they went out there totally shorthanded, and it was a 7-point game, and you're driving middle of the fourth quarter. So, I mean, they proved that the product on the field is much better. I mean, maybe they end up with 3, 4, 5 wins somewhere around there. But, I mean, you can see the progress on the field. And these guys have not wavered. I mean, they lost a couple guys. But, I mean, it's typical in the fall. You're going to have a couple decommitments. It's nothing unusual. But the core, the Duffies, the Hunters, those guys still seem to be very solid. Now, I don't think you want to go out and get blown out by Miami and BC. That would not be a good look. And that could hurt your class, but I think things stay kind of consistent the way they are. I think they'll be fine in this class. They're still going to have a really good class and a couple key players coming in. It's going to be important, obviously, to get some transfers in too. There's a couple key positions, especially I think at wide receiver, defensive end, you're going to lose a couple really good players there. You're going to need to fill those voids as well. But, you know, I think the recruiting's getting over. These guys have been firm through through Jacksonville State, through last season being a 3-win team, and they've hung. I don't know why all of a sudden they would bail here with a month and a half before signing day. I don't see it. Am I missing something? I mean, people, I get their concern about recruiting, and it's justifiable because it builds a foundation. We saw today, you need an upgrade in talent. You had a couple key injuries, and it just basically gave FSU a very limited chance to win the game. You need that depth. You need the talent. But I don't see why the class is suddenly, in the 3 games left, the class is going to get gutted for some reason.
No, I know it's not the scientific or insightful answer that you're hoping for, Alex, but if they've made it this far and they stuck through this much, I mean, what's one more month to sign on the line that is dotted? That's the thing to remember here, too, is, you know, given when the early signing period started, and what Florida State went through that year with the transition between Willie and Jimbo. And then they got to do it again a couple of years later. And then Mike has followed that up with, you know, that hire and that, you know, week of essentially just trying to find any name he could to come here to Tallahassee that he liked with a COVID season. This is the first real early signing period we've had ever in Florida State history. So you're a month away from getting those kids to commit. A lot of them are going to be early enrollees. And I know they're committed, but to sign, to truly commit to the program. You don't want to get blown out between now and then. They've sold them to keep together and to keep the core together this much for this long. And they started 0-4 and the kids are still here. I don't know that one fourth down call is going to be the moment where Travis Hunter says, you know what, the hell with it. I'm putting my hands.
These coaches are making a couple calls I don't agree with. So I'm going to, that's not going to be the difference at all. And look, I'm going to go on a different thing. You mentioned again about not beating Miami. Yeah. I don't know why everybody's – look, Miami's offense is clicking. Van Dyke is a lot better than we thought that their backup was. I mean, it's amazing what they're doing offensively. But nobody's talking about their defense. That's half the battle here. Let me go through the last two games of Miami. Let's see. Virginia gave up 30 points, North Carolina 45, NC State 30, Pittsburgh 34, Georgia Tech today 30. Mm-hmm. It's a really bad defense. I don't understand why, just because their offense is clicking. Like, there's two sides of the coin. If Florida State's going to score probably in the 30s if they're healthy in this game. It's probably going to be a one possession. It's probably going to come down to the end. I don't know why people are suddenly giving up on the Miami game. I'm shocked at this.
It's the emotion of the first moments after a loss. I guess I feel better about this game that it was close at all. Like the fact that they got it there. I mean, you had to really pull a rabbit out of you know where in order to even get it to that place, given all the problems we had this week and the problems NC State didn't have. They should be embarrassed it was that close at any point, frankly, with what goals they still have in front of them. They really are worse on the road. I think we learned that today. Lee in North Meridian Beach, South Carolina, or is it North Median Beach? Go ahead, Lee. Welcome to the program. You are on the WarChant.com postgame show.
Hey, how you doing? Nice to talk to y'all guys.
Hey, welcome, Lee. We're happy to have you.
Yeah, it's North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Myrtle Beach.
North Myrtle. Gotcha.
Beautiful up there.
Yeah. I've been a fan of Florida State since 1992. The question I have for y'all guys, I believe it was in the, I want to say early fourth quarter, when McKenzie got hit by the North Carolina State defender in the face and knocked down, and the ref was right there.
Yeah.
Shouldn't that have been a foul, a penalty or something?
Yeah.
Do you remember? Well, Lee, I remember that play. I remember he looked at the official, put his hands up like, what's going on here? I just got whacked. No, that's, you know, they made some mistakes. Absolutely. I think that should have been called. A couple pass interferences were very obvious. It's the ACC. It's a given. There's going to be a handful of bad calls every game. But I'm not blaming this game. I can say the Clemson game, if we want to go back and talk about that, I think that may have cost you the game, that last drive. I can point to that. NC State was a better team. Florida State made bad calls in the end based on the personnel. So you're right. That's one of several bad calls in the game. But I don't feel like that cost Florida State the game.
Lee, since you're a first-timer of the program and you're still on the line, just a question for you. Do you feel optimistic about Miami next week, or do you feel a lot worse about it after what you saw today? What do you think?
I do believe we can beat Miami because we're going to be healthy. I really do.
Yep, there it is. That's a good call. Thank you, Lee. Thanks for joining
the
program.
Thanks, Lee. Appreciate the call.
We hope you call again. Yeah, if they're healthy. That's it. That's what this comes down to. All of those practice reports right here on warchant.com that you can find on the Tribal Council, you should be looking for those to see. Listen, we can't speak directly, given the policies of Florida State, about who is practicing and who isn't practicing, but a little word to the wise. If we're giving you updates about certain things that happen in practice, look for the names, like who's throwing the ball, who's catching the ball. That's the alert way to keep up to date with our practice updates on the Tribal Council, which you can do all week long right here at warchant.com. We've got a couple of callers left in the queue for right now. I think we're going to call this for Terry. No more new calls because we do have a guest from Stadium Side right now.
Yeah, we talked about recruiting the last caller. We got a 5-star ready to sign with the WarChant postgame show.
We do indeed. I see two callers in the queue.
Put them on hold and go to the 5-star? You can't keep the 5-star waiting.
Oh, of course not. I'm just letting those folks know right after Ira, we're coming to you. No new callers. We appreciate you guys and your patience. We now go Stadium Side to Mr. Schofield himself, the managing editor of WarChant.com. Ira, welcome to the program, man. How are things going in the postgame for you?
Oh, just great. Just great. Things are just going swimmingly here at Doak Campbell Stadium, where we see Florida State lose again and fall to 3-6 for the second straight season.
And I love the backdrop there. Go ahead, Tom.
I detect serious frustration in your voice. What would be the source of that frustration?
Yeah, what's up, Ira?
You know, it's a weird game. It's a weird week. We knew they were banged up from the Clemson game. Plus, we also knew that the flu bug was going around the team. So, on the one hand, you know, you say, you know, Mike Norvell made a point that he, I guess he got the team together this morning and really praised them for the way they got through the week because it was a challenging week. I guess up to 25 different guys missed at least one practice. Wow. So they went through it. I mean, it was definitely a tough week for them. But at the end of the day, you know, 78 yards and a half of football. And I know you didn't have your starting quarterback, but that first half was just brutal. I thought, you know, they showed some fight there in the second half, got it to within 7 points, kept it there for about a quarter. But, you know, just the way they played in the first half. And then defensively, some of the big plays on defense. I mean, I think that was the most disappointing thing. You kind of expected the offense to struggle without Jordan Travis to some degree. But the defense gave up so many big plays in crucial situations, including the backbreaker there on 3rd and 10 at the end.
But, Ira, I'm curious. You mentioned that about the defense. Did the defense really play that? I mean, there's a couple, obviously, backbreakers. You pointed that out. But I think NC State had something like 13, 14 drives in the game. And there's a play here or there. But, I mean, on the whole, did the defense play pretty solidly?
They played decent, for sure. And they, at times they played really well. But some of those third downs, I mean, were just brutal. I think NC State converted like 8 of 18 third downs, and some of them, you know, hit a screen for 43 yards. You know, just missed tackles. That I think is the most frustrating part. It's not like, you know, just the tremendous plays by NC State. There were, you know, several of those long plays were just terrible tackling, terrible angles, and maybe part of that, you know, it's easy to attribute a lot of the lack of execution on offense to having so many guys out during the week and in and out of the lineup. I mean, I think there was, he said at least one practice this week where they had 4 of their starting offensive linemen not able to practice. So you understand that continuity. I guess you'd say defensively it can happen as well because, you know, if you're missing tackling drills, if you're missing practice time, that could affect your tackling. But I didn't think we've seen them play like that defensively in a long time where they've just given up cheap touchdowns. And that's really how NC State scored, I think, at least maybe 3 of them.
Yeah, it seemed like, they either stuffed them,
right,
or there was a breakdown. You know, they'd stuff them, and then there's a missed tackle, and they go 60 yards for a touchdown. Yeah, it's pretty frustrating. Now, you can probably guess I started this segment out ranting about something.
The fourth down call.
Oh baby. Yes. I'm assuming he pulled out the analytics card again when he was asked about Mike Norvell in the postgame, right?
No, not really, because he did pass up. He had some 4th and 1s earlier in the game that he passed up on. I think what he said was he just felt like they were down to only a few possessions left in the game. There's 7 or 8 minutes left. They're in the fourth quarter. Felt like the offense had come, you know, they started that drive back at the 1 yard line, had pushed it out 40 yards, you know, felt like that they might be able to find something. They had some routes that they liked, some rub routes on that play that they thought they'd be able to get, you know, at least a 5 yard pass. And it was there. I mean, it was kind of there. I think Pokey Wilson could have made a tough catch there and maybe gotten the first down there. But, you know, he said it just came down to possessions. He was worried that they might only get one more possession of the game. They're close to midfield. He felt like they had a chance and he had to roll the dice. You know, I don't know. To me, the bigger problem was the play before. You know, if you felt like you were going to go for it on 4th down, if you felt like, okay, because it was 3rd and 5. Mm-hmm. And so if in that situation, 3rd and 4. So in that situation, if you think you might be going for it on 4th down, then wouldn't you try to do something to at least get 2 or 3 yards on 3rd down? I would have run it on 3rd down. Instead, they tried to pass. It's incomplete. Now it's 4th and 4. If you run it on 3rd and 4 and you pick up 2 or 3 yards, now the defense has to worry about the run or the pass. I think on 4th and 4, they knew it was going to be a pass and they were able to deflect the pass attempt.
Well, to me, getting out your own end and getting it out close to midfield, it's called flipping the field position in a one possession game. To me, I don't know. It's a no brainer to me. I think he totally pissed the bet on that one.
You're definitely, you know, in the consensus. I know he's going to get killed by the fan base. And I actually asked McKenzie that after the game. I said, look, man, your coach is going to take a lot of heat for that call. You know, what do you guys think as players? And he said, you know, obviously he said, you know, we love it. We got to execute. And he sounded like McKenzie was putting a lot of the whole game on himself and the receivers. And, you know, he's not going to blame the receivers, but he said several times that they ran a lot of rub routes. that should be man beaters, and NC State's defensive backs just beat their man beaters. And so that comes down to your receivers having to make a play. But at the end of the day, you know, we know what this receiving core is, and you know, it's probably too much to ask them to do much against a decent secondary.
Yeah, I think I've never met a quarterback that didn't want to go for it on fourth down. So I'd be surprised if he said, you know what, we should have punted. That would have been something. I guess the other one we brought up a little bit, it was really an odd call late in the game. And I know it was probably over, it was probably moot, but it's they get the penalty when they've got them held down there on the, this would have given them second and first and 18, whatever it would have been. They'd have been inside their 10-yard line. They declined the penalty. Obviously the motivation was to, I guess, limit the time. Let's get this over with quicker so we get the ball back. But to me, at that point, you make them so one-dimensional because Dorn inside his 10-yard line, suddenly there's no way he's throwing the ball. He's not going to risk that. So I think you get an automatic three and out and punt. So was that brought up, or what was your feelings on that?
It wasn't brought up, but, yeah, I'm with you guys. I just assumed they didn't want to take more time off the clock. I think it was under 4 minutes at that point. They're down two touchdowns. You know, I mean, it's just one of those where it didn't work out because they didn't get a stop. They gave up the first down, but – you know, seemed like the game was pretty much over. And truthfully, you know, again, that drive was another one where, you know, they're picking up these 10-yard plays. And I know the game was probably over, but that's the tough thing about this defense is, like you said, there were stretches where they were dominant. They did a really good job against the run game. They did a good job of getting pressure on the quarterback. Leary doesn't get sacked much, and they got a lot of pressure on him. They did a good job of that. But just, you know, too many breakdowns, and not just the missed tackles, but also some plays where they, you know, missed coverages in the sack. Keir Thomas, who I thought played a good game, when we spoke to him in the post game, he admitted at least one of those plays was his fault. He was supposed to get the guy in the flat. Just not a sharp game defensively overall, I don't think, even though they played well at times.
I'm glad you brought up our boy Keir, man. What a great game he had. The sack, and they mentioned in the broadcast, if you saw it, the outstanding tackle for the Wolfpack had not given up a sack all season, and then Keir beat him on that one where he got the sack. And to me, the play of the season was the fake cramp. I don't know if that was brought up, but what a fantastic play! Because I give credit to Leary because he went right up to the line. They were gonna. I'm convinced they would have got that snap off before it would have been stopped. And because he did that, they were able to get that. And that flip possession, that was a huge play.
Yeah, it really was. And that's the thing that stinks about losses. One of the many things that stink about losses is, there were a lot of cool plays in that game. Yeah. I thought Keyshawn Helton's catch before the touchdown, you know, holding on to that ball when he got clobbered, I thought it was targeting. They reviewed it and didn't give him the targeting. But then they come back and he has the touchdown play. I mean, McKenzie, if you get a chance to listen to McKenzie's interview, at the end of it, I asked him about that play. And he said, look, that Keyshawn was running to the corner, to the left corner of the end zone was the design of that play. He ends up catching the touchdown in the right corner of the end zone. And just, you know, speaks to, you know, just how hard that kid plays. And the onside kick, you know, great call, great execution by Parker Groathouse. I mean, there's some nice moments in that game. Keir Thomas had those big sacks. You know, there's some nice plays that, you know, they actually got an interception off of Leary, which never happens. He hasn't had an interception six or seven games. But when you lose, especially by two touchdowns at home, nobody's going to want to hear about any of those plays.
So McKenzie didn't say he was throwing the ball away on that because we're convinced, is that what you were going to mention, Tom? Sorry. Yeah. That it looked to me like he'd spun around. He was trying to do his best EJ Manuel impression and spinning around in the backfield, and then it looked like he was just trying to throw the ball away. So he legitimately – was that legit, that touchdown, Ira?
He says he saw him coming.
Okay.
You can choose to not believe him, but he says he saw him coming.
Ira, quick question about pregame. Just as you were obviously, you know, scouring the field, I'm sure, with the binoculars to see who was available and who wasn't, I saw a couple of the reports from the boards on Warchant that Dylan Gibbons did take reps in pregame, but clearly he wasn't good to go. And then Bavion did or did not, because those two names, we already know about Travis, but those two names are going to be critical, I would think, next week against Miami. So what did you see pregame from them?
Yeah, Dylan Gibbons did take some reps, but pretty much always with the second team. So that, I think he might have been there in emergency purposes only. And I think it's because I don't know if he practiced at all this whole week. He may have practiced a little bit, but I think that's, you know, he was there. He could have played probably if they had to have him, but I'm thinking the fact that he didn't practice all week, I think Brady Scott got all those snaps. That's why he was the guy. I don't know for sure he was available, but it looked like he at least was going through everything. And then Bavion Johnson was not out there. It was not dressed out. In fact, didn't even see him on the sideline in street clothes. So my guess there is maybe the flu, because, you know, usually if a guy is injured, like Lawrence Toffoli, was banged up. Sidney Williams is banged up. They were there on the sidelines. Bavion Johnson wasn't even on the sidelines. So I'm wondering if maybe, like Jordan Travis, my guess is maybe he's still sick.
Was there any, I mean, you would think this is a one-week thing, I would hope, but is there any indications when they do tomorrow that they're going to be out there when they do the post-game of that? Or did he talk about, will he hope to have these guys back in the next day or two?
Yeah, I don't think they know because, like you said, I mean, some, you know, they did say a lot of guys were sick. At least 25 guys, or around 25 guys missed at least one practice. Guys were getting IVs during the week, trying to do everything they could to you know, stay hydrated and be able to play. He said some of the guys that played today were not feeling it, but you know, but stuck it out and wanted to play. My guess is it's not the end of it. One interesting thing he actually said, Mike Norvell said that this started to hit them right before the Clemson game. Like during that trip, they started having guys come down with it, and it's gone throughout the entire week. And like I said, some guys still aren't there. So my guess is it may continue early this week. But you know, obviously, it's Miami. This game can kind of, I'm not going to say salvage FSU season, but if you could win this game, man, it would do so much for this football team. So you know they're going to do everything they can to give it a go this week.
I said that earlier, and I said all this is moot if you beat Miami. I think at the end of the season, you look at the end of the season, you go, not, you know, it's not what you wanted, but we'll take it at this point, Ira. And hey, one thing for tell Mike Norvell next time the team gets flu shots. How about that? How about we do that?
Well, they haven't officially said it was the flu. They're saying some sort of.
We know it's not COVID, so it's something.
It's an illness.
Yeah. I don't know. You got anything else, Tom, for 5-star?
No, that's it. Well, okay, one final question, Ira, real quick. Just, I know this will probably be in your 3-2-1, but do today's events, given everything that happened this week, change your opinion of, you know, what you think about Florida State and Miami? Or is this almost like a game that you have to treat as a one-off?
I do kind of treat it like a one-off. And you know, I was saying early in the week that I thought they match up better with Miami than I do NC State. I never thought, even with Jordan Travis, I thought this was going to be a tough game for them to win just because of the, you know, the circumstances, the way NC State plays, et cetera. So it doesn't change too much for me. And look, man, and Corey and I think are going to end up arguing about this week on Seminole Headlines because, you know, he made the comment during the week about how I heard him on Happy Hour, I think, saying it again, or maybe on Wake Up War Chant, saying again how, you know, this team's got to be past moral victories. It's got to be past close losses. You need to start winning games. And, like, I got that, except this second half of the season was supposed to be mostly losses anyway. I mean, the reason we thought this team was probably going to go 6-6 or maybe 7-5 is because we didn't know if they could beat NC State. We didn't know if they could beat Miami. We didn't think they could beat Florida on the road. So my point is, you know, this isn't like a shocking loss. NC State's number 19. They've had a really good season. They're 7-2. Even if Florida State had everything they were going for them, I don't think it was a sure thing they were going to win this game. So it doesn't change my opinion all that much about this team. And it also doesn't change my opinion about that Miami game. I think Miami's defense is not very good. I think they're sloppy. I think Florida State's got a chance to – I think Florida State's defense will do well against Miami's offense. So – you know, as long as they bounce back from this game health-wise, I still think Florida State's got a good chance to win that game.
So you got your 3-2-1 coming probably tomorrow. We'll have grades up in the morning. You and Corey doing the wrap here shortly. I don't know if Corey's going to do it. You got to get Corey to do something special for me. I've already had somebody say, I guess I'm shaving my beard if they beat Miami. I don't know if you can get Corey to talk him into doing something crazy, maybe pouring something in his face, you know, something like that. They beat Miami. At least pin him down, Ira, to do something crazy.
If they play like they did in the first half again, he might pour acid in his face.
Just to never see. I never want to see this again.
We'll see. But yeah, and he's writing his column right now. He should have that up on the site shortly. Check out Corey's column. Should be soon. And Austin's writing a story as well. So, but plenty of coverage of this magnificent performance.
Yes,
coming up on the site.
And everybody, get your flu shots. Thank you, Ira. Take care,
buddy. Thanks, guys. Take care.
See ya. Managing editor Ira Schofield joining us here in the War Chant post game show, Tom. And
yeah,
I think pretty much wrapped it up. And I know people don't, I see people are mad on there. They're going to be mad on our message boards. You hate to say, like you said, it's a one off. It really is. I mean, you just can't, I get it. You're tired of the L's racking up. It was, you know, there were some ugly parts of this game on both sides of the ball. But man, when you said 25 guys were either missed most of the practices or we're not in the game because of the flu. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. And you put yourself in a position. Like, listen, I'm not all about moral victories when you have the resources to win the football game. When you have the resources to win many football games more than you're going to lose, like, That's an over 500 season. I don't know if we know what that is around these parts anymore. But when you have those resources and you lose games you shouldn't, that's when I'll be pissed off. For now, I'm not going to be the guy banging my head against the wall saying, excuses. These are reasons. They're legitimate reasons.
There's a difference. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. Now, he gets paid big bucks to figure it out, but I mean, I'm actually pleased that they found themselves to be in a position to win the game on the road at Clemson, and they were in a position to not, you know, screw it up on a 4th-and-4 today, but they did that too. So there's a lot of things to consider for the next week, and it is Miami Hate Week coming up. But before we get there, we've got three callers remaining on the War Chant.
Yeah, can we give Techno Gaming here a little shout-out here, Milton's performance? And, yes, definitely shout-out to the Marching Chiefs. We love the Marching Chiefs. Great job by them, as always. And I always – hey, if you love them, always want to encourage people. We've got our game day page, and also with the It's Game Day, we put up this Skull Session. I think it's an hour and a half before kickoff. Go out to Hauser Stadium, watch those guys. They do a great job. Appreciate it. Milton, all things considered, the limitations – I mean, he missed a couple. Ira said in the post game, he admitted making a couple. There's a third down pass. I think at some point he had, I forget who the receiver was, threw it behind him. It should have been a conversion. He didn't have his best game, but he gutted it out. He played fine given the limitations of the offensive line, the receivers.
Yeah, I think he's maximizing what he is. The throw he'd like back is the 3rd-and-4 before that infamous 4th-and-4 call. He said, Tommy, that was wide open. I think that was Cam. I forget. Also Techno Gaming, man, Dr. Plaque's a friend, and I married a Marching Chief. So, yeah.
There you go.
Shout out always to the Marching Chief. Caleb in Memphis, the land of Mike Norvell. Welcome to the program, Caleb. How you doing?
How you guys doing?
Appreciate your patience, Caleb. Yeah, thanks for sticking around with us. Go ahead. What's going on?
I want to talk about McKenzie Milton because – it feels like he's catching a lot of slack for what happened this game, although like all the other external factors. But the system isn't meant for him to win games here. And I really wish that he transferred somewhere else because he probably would have had a little bit more success, even though he's not that great. But it's just the lack of a receiving core and just how badly banged up our offensive line was. Like if you watch the film, McKenzie Milton is dropping back 5 and 6 steps. And when he doesn't have a strong arm, it looks like he's throwing at 30 and it's going 5 yards. So looking into the future, I think that it doesn't matter who's a quarterback. The wide receiving core needs to get better. And I'm interested in what's happening inside that recruiting process, but that's just the end of the day. So,
well, we appreciate it.
And that's really what I wanted to get off my chest. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Caleb.
Yeah, thanks.
Caleb, man, you are preaching the choir. I'm pounding the desk. I've been saying it from the beginning, this wide receiver, and I think Corey's with me too on that. Oh, I'm going to be in trouble. I think did my Charlie Ward light go off?
Yeah, you're already.
My God, is he already? I'm in trouble. I said I'd get that fixed. Man. No, but absolutely. Caleb makes a great point. I mean, I do think McKenzie's, in a certain different situation, he might have been a better fit. The wide receiver core simply, it's not a very good wide receiver core, which is crazy at Florida State. There's just been some misses in recruiting, the transfers, whatever happened, you can say, but it's just not good. If guys could get, if you got a little bit more protection and guys could get separation, I think he could be successful somewhere. But unfortunately, it's a situation. It's a hand he got dealt. It's a hand Florida State got dealt. I don't know how much you can blame Mike Norvell because this goes back to really Willie Taggart's recruiting. A lot of those high-end wide receivers he recruited didn't pan out to Jordan Youngs, or they transferred some of those other guys. And say what you want, but they just don't have the talent that they should have at that position.
It's a roster you got to flip. I know that some people say, you can't tell me that these other teams in the ACC have more talent. Well, I can, because they do. And they have
the NC State's got two or three receivers that are – they would all start at Florida State. They're better.
Yeah, not to mention some offensive linemen that would certainly start here as well. Davis in Orlando to the 407 we go. Welcome, Davis. You are a penultimate caller tonight on the War Chant postgame show. Thanks for calling, and go ahead with your thoughts.
Thank you guys so much for calling. Yeah, tough loss, but given all the circumstances, again, what do you expect? You know, you got a one-legged person trying to run a marathon. You know, it's like you're doing the best you can. So, and thank you to you guys for all you're doing. You know, and again, I know the team has heart. They don't quit, so I support them. So my question is, I've heard some. I always thought you had to get 6 wins to get to a bowl game, but you could get in maybe this year with 5. It's like, is that a possibility? Because I see 2 of our games being definitely winnable. Not sure about all 3, but just your question, can we get to a bowl game with 5 wins, or does it have to be 6? And thank you very much.
Thank you, Davis. Appreciate the phone call. I mean, yeah, you can. I mean, it's there's got to be some exceptions, but I think a lot. I mean, what's happened more in recent years is teams opt out. Too many players leave. They don't want to go to bowls for whatever reason. So these bowls have obligations, so they can't take some 5-win teams. And if Florida State were to win two of the last three games and they get to 5 wins, I think they're going to be a very viable team that someone's going to want them in a bowl game, because the fans will probably, especially if it's somewhere Florida, Georgia, the fans probably will travel. So, I mean, there's definitely a possibility at 5 wins that they could sneak into a bowl.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's a rule that changed in recent years, Davis, and part of it is that more bowls exist, like more and more bowls exist. So you've got to fill the slots somewhere. And as Gene said, you know, the corporate champions of these bowls are number one for the bowl committees. But secondly, if they can get some revenue from the gate, they'll take it. And that's where if you're choosing between 2 5-7 programs and one of them is Florida State, and the other is a group of five team, you're going to choose the Seminole fan base.
If you're the Gasparilla Bowl, you're going to take Cleveland State or you're going to take Florida State? Who's going to go down there?
You know, and this isn't a year where we're coming off a 10-win season. We all know that. So we would be excited, I would think, to go to the bowl. You know, and that's where I think that also plays a role. And from the administration standpoint, to say yes to it, and from the fan base standpoint, to attend it. Our final caller tonight is in Tallahassee. We finished in the 850, which is where we start. His name is Dan, and he is talking to Gene Williams, warchant.com, and myself. Welcome, Dan. How's it going?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Dan.
So my question was, how you doing? My question was about the offensive line. So, like, is it a reason, is it an excuse for our offensive line to be so bad, like, consistently compared to other teams, even though we should have, like, better players or even match players? Because I look at so many other teams, and the offensive line don't look as bad as ours. Like, we have Jordan Travis, like, running every single play, like, because you have guys, like, breaking through the offensive line. So is it an excuse for that, or what do you think about that?
Well, Dan's right. I mean, well, a couple key offensive line were out for this game, Dan, so that was part of the reason why they really struggled. But, yeah, I mean, it's not a secret. They've really struggled recruiting the offensive line for several years. You know, it seems like they're slowly but surely getting the things better. I like Alex Atkins a lot, the offensive line coach. They're better than they were last year. I know it didn't look like it today because some of the losses, but they have made a little bit of progress from one year to the next, but they still need to continue to build it through recruiting, through transfers. And I think you get everybody but DLT back probably next year, so it should be better next year. Look, it's baby steps, and you're absolutely right. Florida State is deficient on the offensive line compared to almost everybody it plays, and that goes back to just poor recruiting. I mean, I don't know if you see anything different, Tom, but I mean, it's not a state secret. They haven't been good there for several years.
No, agreed. And it started back in with Rick Trickett. You know, that's where this all began. Nobody wanted to play for that guy. And so the cupboard was a little bit bare for Willie. And breaking news, Willie didn't really add much to the cupboard before he left here. Nope. So that puts you in a position where you've got 4 or 5 years of fledgling players, a couple of which that are still around. But you've had to address it through desperate means, transfer portal, you know, maybe accepting some guys into a recruiting class or two that you might not otherwise if Florida State's at peak efficiency. But, you know, this is not only an offensive line issue. You've got the same issue at linebacker. You've got the same issue at wide receiver, which we just talked about. So, you know, the one thing I'd say is, you know, if you're looking at other programs around the country and you're saying, how is it that Florida State is this deficient at this position? It's not the only of its kind.
Yeah.
You can say the same thing. How is Florida State this bad at receiver? How is Florida State, the team in the 90s that defined linebacker play in the South, this bad at linebacker?
Yeah.
It's there are more positions than not, you're saying we're not deep enough. And in some positions, you're saying we don't even have good players. So that's the task that Mike Norvell was hired to fix.
Yeah.
If he keep this recruiting class mostly intact, good for us. Because that's the other thing too, Gene. If this signing day was February, I'd feel a lot worse about holding on to this recruiting class because serious shenanigans.
For once, the early signing period is a good thing. It seems like it's hurt Florida State in the past, but this year may be a good thing. Let's hold on to this class another month and 10 days, whatever it is. So we're close, man. Appreciate the calls, Tom. We're an hour and a half into this thing. Didn't think we're going to go this long.
No, so. I didn't, but we appreciate everybody's feedback. Yep. Everybody who supported us on the War Chant. .com chat tonight, the donations, the pillars. We love you guys. Yeah, we appreciate you. Terry, of course, Ira from Stadium Side. And remember, folks, early signing day is coming up soon. That's an event to bookmark. because we're going to cover it wall to wall at sportschance.com. And mostly for the now, it's Miami week, everybody. So screw Miami. Screw you, Miami. Let's get the hate going. Let's go. Yeah. All the, not hate the real kind, like football hate.
Yeah, the fun, the rivalry hate.
Bubbling to the surface. We'll know about the kickoff time shortly. We'll have that information at warchant.com. We've got columns. We've got stat bombs. We've got content galore coming for you. Warchant.com, Warchant TV this upcoming week. Thank you to everybody who's tuned in tonight. If you like what you saw, hit the like button below this video so others can find it. Hit the subscribe button to our channel. You won't regret it. For Gene Williams, the founder and administrator of Warchant.com, my name is Tom Lang. Thank you for watching the Warchant.com postgame show. We'll talk to you next week.